Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
We're rolling. This is the show. Welcome to the Believe You Me podcast. 1 minute, Harrington is so cold that you're sitting there with a robe on and you're trying to make everyone feel sorry for you and you're talking about how cold it is. And now what you ladies and gentlemen haven't seen is that Harrington's literally going through a succession, a chain of ice pops, one after the other. Ice lollies, lollipops, as we call them in England. What do you call them?
We call them delicious over here. No, I think they're pop ice. They're like little quarter waters, essentially, just in plastic that you freeze up. They used to have them at like summer camps all the time. I love them.
Yeah. We know what ice pops are. Do you know what I mean? So fat? Why is he fat?
Just eating ice pops all day. Yeah, this is like his fifth one.
He's not professional, and that's just pure sugar. Just because you freeze it and put it in plastic doesn't make it any better. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. How are we doing? Just thought we'd start with that nonsense. I'm like, Harrington, can you stop sucking? Would you like it if I was sitting there sucking on bananas?
I mean, that sounds like a way healthier snack.
But just like sucking on any elongated object as we come on. I'm like, it's a little sexual. I don't want to see it.
So that's the problem. I'm turning you on too much. My bad.
Definitely not, Harrison. Definitely not. Definitely not. Anyway, Anthony Smith will be on Thursday's show this week. As you know, his mother's in hospital, so he's attending to business there. So once again, best of luck from all of us there. Chito Vera will be joining us in about 20 minutes or so. Obviously had that amazing, incredible fight at the weekend. So lots to discuss there. And he's already talking shit to Dominic Cruz, calling him out and stuff like that. So we'll get the lowdown from him. Harrington and Brian, how was your weekend?
It was absolutely incredible. I had my birthday was actually yesterday. So got some people together. We went to the park, played some Frisbee, you know, just hung out all day. Had a nice park day. Had great shows in my club last night. You know, great birthday.
How old?
34.
53.
All right.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Happy birthday. I'm glad that you had a great day. Good for you. Man. You know, when you said you went to the park to play Frisbee, that reminded me of years ago. When I first moved here to America, I remember me and Damien, this buddy of mine that we used to hang out. We would party a bit back in the day. It was 10 years ago. You know, I was 33, not 43. And I remember we had a particularly late night. We went to this nightclub and then we went to a party afterwards. And it was like 6 o'clock in the morning now. It's time to go home. But the people in the, hey guys, you guys want to come to the park? I'm like, what's the park? Oh, it's real cool. We'll have fun. We thought the park was like another after hours nightclub. We did. Dude, we're all going to go to the park. And we're like, all right, we're going to the park. And we went there and it was literally, as you just described, people playing Frisbee and shit. And we're like, okay, I think this is our cue to go home. Anyway, I'm glad you had a good one. Glad you had a good one. Talking of good ones or not good ones, I see you have compiled a list of non-MMA topics. What do you want to start with, Harrington?
Okay, what about this guy?
Let's start with number five, because I saw this last week. Is that what you're going to start with? Yeah, so the House of Commons is where all the politicians... What's the equivalent here, like the House of Congress?
So I think it would be like the House of Representatives and House of Commons versus House of Lords and the Senate for the US, I think would be the distinction there.
Anyway, basically, if you're from England, you will have seen this because it is big news. But if you're American, maybe not. But the politicians, they all meet up at the House of Commons and they all talk and they try and fucking run the country. What do I know? But still, they got to sit there. And, you know, you would think that politicians are paying attention. You would think that politicians are not trying to fuck the average person, which a lot of them do. But no, this guy in particular was caught, not on one occasion. I don't know if you know this. It was two occasions that he admitted to watching porn on his phone whilst there. I mean, what is going on in that guy's mind? I haven't got the details. Mike Harrington, elaborate, please.
So he says that the first time he tried to type in, like, just he was looking for tractors. So I'm assuming it was like, you know, he typed in tractors and like Faptor came up or something. Like some, he said it was a similarly named site that he accidentally went to the first time. So he just, you know, he clicked on and he was like, oh crap. You know, just was watching some porn. Somebody caught him. Second time, he was like, yeah, that was actually pretty fun. So I'm going to go back to that and just full on, yeah, just made the choice to be like, I'm bored of this meeting. I'm going to watch people do things.
So, I mean, he's making excuses for stumbling upon a porn site. Come on, mate. Listen, there's a million out there. You don't have to be like that. But he owns it. The second time, he's like, yeah, I decided that I'm just going to full on watch porn.
Yep. Just went for it.
That's a horny shame. Devil. Don't what?
Don't kink shame.
Well, we're not kink shaming, but he's a bloody, you know, there's a time and place for this. Do you know what I mean? Sitting in the House of Commons, that you're very lucky to be there, very prestigious role. You're a politician sitting there amongst your peers and the people that run the country. Maybe that's not the time to be looking at whatever subdivision of porn that tickles his fancy. You know what I mean? He has resigned since. So can you imagine those conversations if he's married? You know, when he's going to go home. So what happened at work today? I mean, just look up Brian, if he's married or not. Click the link there, see his name, because that would be bad. I mean, listen, you know.
Neil
Parrish. Most people, you know, we've all looked at porn, you know, let's not pretend. But not. Still, getting, yeah, okay.
Susan
the pure
Parrish.
Man. Who? Susan Parrish? See if you can bring up a picture. I want to see a picture of Susan Parrish. I mean, to be fair, there might be a reason why he's going to look at porn. You know what I mean?
Especially in public too. Maybe that's it. Maybe like his wife has like the Wi-Fi set up where he can't watch porn at home. So he's like, well, you know, I gotta.
No such thing exists. I mean, yeah, you can put like a child block or whatever. Old Susan Parrish looks like a lovely woman. I mean, poor woman. They imagine the ridicule that's going on down at the local bingo club for her now. Do you know what I mean? My God. Jeez Louise. Yeah. Anyway, there you go. There you go. I mean, there's not much more talking to do on that. Has any American politician ever been found with such a thing?
I mean, like, you know.
Yeah, a guy named Anthony Weiner was sending pictures of his wiener. It's the wildest shit.
Was he really?
That is pretty true. Yeah. He had like a thing for call girls and escorts and you know, ran up a whole bunch of charges with that. But part of what he was into was exactly that, sexting and getting them to send him pictures and then him sending his own junk to them on, like, you know, servers that could be picked up by the public, which is an issue.
Oh, dear. Well, anyway, well, that guy, I mean, it's just embarrassing, isn't it? I feel for the guy. I do. Listen, he just had an urge. No, I feel for the guy. Let's be honest. It doesn't make him a bad person, does it?
No,
do you know what I mean?
I would disagree. No one really wants to see a picture of your dick. It's really just like an ego and hubris thing, I would imagine.
Nobody ever wants to see a picture of anybody's dick.
Nobody needs a dick.
I don't want to see a picture of my dick. They're not attractive things. I'm sorry. They're just not. But still, no, I kind of feel for the guy. Who knows? Maybe he's going through something. You know, he just, the urge took over. He's only human. You know what I mean? These things, the devil. Do you know what I mean? So much opportunity just at your fingertips. Do you know what I mean? You want to see whatever you want to see, you can find it. Then maybe pick a better place. Maybe go to the hotel room. At least go to the goddamn toilet. Do you know what I mean? Don't sit in the House of Commons. Shame on that guy. I had a bell out of ringing.
But I mean, that might be part of the thrill, right? You do it. I could see a thing where you do it by accident the first time. right? You get away with it in your mind and you're like, oh my God, that was better than actually like enjoying the porn. Just being able to watch porn in public like that, different strokes for different folks. Maybe that's his thing. And thank God they nipped it in the bud early.
Well, unfortunately for him, they caught him about to start stroking. Do you know what I mean? So he's out the window. He's done for. They're all weird. They're all freaks anyway. Still, yeah. Anyway, as I say, we've got Chito Vera joining us in a little bit. Should we go through? Let's have a look. What else have you got? Well, I mean, just so you guys know, and we do this every week, we're going to have to start like getting a bit more organization with this. I mean, he's got HP printers will shut themselves down remotely if you cancel your new ink subscription. Pray tell. I mean, this is big news. This is big news.
Kind Fun of. Fact,
the people that watch this podcast need to know this. I mean, I saw that and I'm like, what is he doing? So basically, if you buy a HP printer, you've got to buy their ink.
Mm-hmm. And you've got to continue buying their ink. So you could have a fully stocked printer. You haven't used it in quite some time and you're all good to go. The printer itself has to be connected to the internet for things to work now. And if they see that you're not getting regular shipments, our product's just not going to work for you. Like there's some kind of messed up corporate stuff there, no?
So Brian, fun fact about printers, they also will shut themselves off if you try to copy money. I don't know how I know that.
Oh, well, what I want to know is, because in my house, the printer's always got something wrong with it, or it's always out of paper, or it's always out of ink. Every time I go to print something off, there's never flipping ink, and it's so bloody annoying. It really is. But they're shit. They're always breaking down. I have to buy a new printer every so often. You know, I'm always printing off my notes for UFC and whatnot. I mean, HP, so basically they're just going to keep sending you cartridges of ink every month or so, are they? Even if you're not using them, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and the moment that you decide to move on to somebody else or try something new, they are just cutting you off at the source, which is like, I don't know, it feels like, it kind of feels like bullying and extortion. Like, we're going to get you to pay a lot of money for this hardware, and if you don't keep buying software from us, no good.
Well, I wouldn't say it's bullying. You could call it smart business practice. I'm sure the people know the contracts they are entering into when they buy said printer. But
yeah, like, you've read every terms of service on every product you've ever purchased.
I'm hosting the podcast and I'm already bored. Do you know what I mean? It's not a good sign. If I'm bored, then Jesus Christ, our numbers are plummeting as we speak. Quick, the gods of MMA, give us something decent to talk about. And I'll tell you what is decent. July 23rd, UFC London is announced, and we do know Tom Aspinall taking on Curtis Blaydes. That's a really tough fight for both guys. If Tom wins that, he has to fight for the belt next. I don't care what anyone else says. That'll be six in a row if he gets another impressive stoppage. Curtis Blaydes, big guy, hits hard in boxing, improving all the time. Best wrestler by far that Tom has fought. Yeah, he would be playing a big spoiler if he was to defeat Tom in London. Hold the momentum. What's the word I'm looking for? The hype. Take away all that hype. Because Tom has a lot of hype around him right now, and I'm not surprised. He's in the gym every single day. Even after he won his last fight, a couple of days, boom, straight back in the gym, working on the strength and conditioning, which is what you got to do. For me, in my training camps, I would take far too long off. I would try and do strength and conditioning whilst I was in my training camp. That's not really when you're going to make leaps or bounds in that area. You've got to maintain your strength, but you're not going to get stronger. So Tom's doing it the right way. But yeah, tough fight, man. I'm very excited for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you did say it's the best wrestling threat that Tom has faced, which, you know, everybody can certainly agree with. But I think on the flip side, this might be the best, you know, Tom might be the best jiu-jitsu practitioner in heavyweight that Curtis Blaydes has ever faced. So it's like, you know, if you're in one of those situations where, yeah, Blaydes can get you down all day, but you do need to worry about Tom Aspinall submitting you off his back at heavyweight, which not many other guys are a threat to do, especially when you get that big.
No. And on that note, me and Tom were talking on the phone last week, and he's probably going to come out to my house and stay, and we're going to do some training. We're going to try and find him some big training partners. I'm like, I better put some fucking calls in, Tom, because I don't know if you know this, but you're twice the size of me, okay? And I'm 43, and I've got one eye, and I got no knees. And if you think that you're kicking the shit out of me every day on a daily basis, no. So we are going to put some calls in. He's going to come out. He's just going to do a little bit with Perillo, work on his hands, do some wrestling, work with some of the jiu-jitsu guys. Hopefully. That's the plan right now, but you never know. So anyway, Tom Aspinall, hope you are well, my friend. Cheeto will be joining in about 5-10 minutes.
Another big fight on that same card announced.
Go on.
Darren Till has an opponent. Oh,
yeah.
Jack the Joker, baby.
Yeah, Jack the Joker. It makes sense. That's a good matchup. You know what I mean? Generally, UFC put winners with winners. I don't want to say losers, but people that lose fights with people, other people that lose fights. Sounds like losers with losers. You're a fucking loser, Darren. It makes sense. Who was the last one? So Sean Strickland beat Hermanson last, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah, I think that's right.
I believe so. I'm talking about.
Yeah. As we know, Darren fell to Brunson. It's a good fight, but it's a tough fight for both men. I'll just go out and I can't make a prediction. I'll be commentating that one, which is great. I love it. Back to England again. I get flown there for free. Maybe stick around a couple of days, see my mom. That'll be nice. See my dad as well. But another great fight. Also, Alexander Gustafsson taking on Nikita Krylov. There's another good one. So yeah, once again, shaping up to be an absolute stacked card. Seeing as you're in New York, did you happen to see the Amanda Serrano, Katy Perry.
Dude, that would be awesome.
Yeah,
if Katy Perry was fighting Amanda Serrano.
Oh, God.
Probably above her weight class, to be honest.
Yeah. Is she really a fighter, Katie? Are you? What's that song? How's it go?
I got the eye of the tiger. I'm a fighter.
I got the eye of the tiger. Carry on. Give me a few bars.
Oh, crap. This is honestly one of my favorite songs. I got the eye of the tiger, the fighter. Oh, dancing through the fire, because I am a champion, and you're going to hear me roar.
All right, stop. Yeah. Funnily enough, I was just talking to Misha Tate earlier. That used to be a walkout song, didn't I? Yeah, Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano. Didn't see the fight because I was commentating the UFC. Can't do two things at once. I saw the highlights. Holy shit. It looked like an amazing fight. Sold out house at Madison Square Garden.
Oh. First time ever.
What, for a woman's fight?
For a woman's boxing match to main event and sell out MSG. Crazy.
Yeah, I hate to bring up Jake Paul again, but he was like co-promoting the show, wasn't he, with Eddie Hearn? He was getting made fun of a lot over the weekend. So that's good. But I think we talked about this on Thursday, didn't we? So we won't continue to berate him any further unless you've got something good you want to say.
We talked about the pink Jimmy Savile glasses. I don't think we talked about all that.
That was pretty funny, actually, that Connor came out with that one. Because, yeah, I think Jake was talking shit about Connor or something. And then Connor said, what's with the pink Jimmy Savile glasses?
Yeah.
Do you know who Jimmy Savile is?
As far as I remember, right, from what I know, he was like the British Mr. Rogers, but he ended up being a real bad dude.
Who's Mr. Oh, Mr. Rogers? I think I'm like, yeah,
kids TV programming.
Yeah. So Jimmy Savile, yeah. Now then, rattle, jewelry. If anyone's from England, that's not a bad Jimmy Savile, but he's not someone you want to impersonate. That is as much of impersonation of Jimmy Savile that I'm going to do. The man was an all-out paedophile. He was taking advantage of a lot of young girls. I don't know if it was boys as well. He used to host Top of the Pops. Do you know what Top of the Pops is?
I'm assuming it's a kid show.
No, yeah, it was for kids, but it was like for music. You know what I mean?
It was like Soul Train.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So he used to host that and stuff. Yeah, a bit of a dirty guy. Well, not a dirty guy, but of a disgusting, foul human being. All right, real quick, I just want to tell you about Masterworks, okay? We all know we should try and set ourselves up for our retirement. We like to make money. We like to make investments, you know? People investing in cryptocurrencies, stocks, Dogecoin, you name it. Well, guess what? The real geniuses, like Oprah Winfrey, they're out there investing in pieces of art because art always appreciates in value. Now, for example, the Mona Lisa, did you know, right? That went up by 2,000,000% or something like that. So they went from the equivalent of 30K to 867 million. And with Masterworks, you go on there and you can just invest and own a tiny little piece of that. So as the art appreciates, so does your investment and you make a lot of money. So listen, this is a fun new way, something very, very interesting. Go to masterworks.io. That is the website. Use the promo code BELIEVE. You're going to get a great deal. See important regulation disclosures at masterworks.io/CD. Listen, check it out. If you're thinking about somewhere to put a few bucks, make a little investment, something different, or maybe you're a massive art aficionado and you know what is going to skyrocket, you definitely need to go to one more time, masterworks.io, and that promo code is BELIEVE. Anyway, moving on. What else we got? Amanda Serrano got beat off Katie Taylor, so congrats, Katie Taylor. Well done there. Did a great job, so she did. What else we got? Dustin Poirier. You're putting in here about the NFL draft. I saw this on the news. I saw Dustin Poirier. What's he doing at the NFL draft?
Okay, so the NFL does a thing where, you know, a team can send a representative up to make a pick, right? So, like, some kid did, like, a make-a-wish and got to, like, take, you know, officially draft a player for their team. And people just, you know, look for different reasons for people to tune in later and later on in the draft. And, I mean, this was one of them. Dustin Poirier got to go up and make a pick for the New Orleans Saints. Pretty fucking cool.
No, that is cool. That's very cool. Good for him. Nice to see him getting some recognition from his hometown and stuff like that. When you say make a pick, though, he doesn't make a pick. He gets told to read it out, I'm assuming.
Yeah, they like, yeah, the GM's handle. He can't just be like, yeah, we're taking a punter from Nebraska because I like him.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, that's cool. That's cool. I also saw in the news last week, I don't know if it's official, but I saw something that Dustin Poirier is going to be fighting the winner of Michael Chandler and Tony Ferguson, which of course takes place this weekend, UFC 274 from Houston, or not Phoenix, Arizona. What do you think of that, Harrington? Do you like that theory?
I mean, you know, I would love. There's no time I'm ever going to say no to Dustin Poirier versus Michael Chandler. There's no time anybody's going to say no to Dustin Poirier versus Tony Ferguson. So yeah, I mean, that absolutely makes the most sense. I don't understand why Dustin Poirier has been on the shelf for so long. You know, like, is he really just one of those guys who's only going to fight once a year now?
Yeah, well, I hope not, because number one, everybody loves watching him fight. Secondly, you know, he's at the height of his fame and earning potential, so it wouldn't be smart. But he has been trying to fight. Remember, there was the situation with Nate Diaz. They thought they were going to fight for a while, but that never materialized. And he fought in January, right? That's when he lost to Oliveira. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it was January, wasn't it?
December of last year.
But all right, December, January. Same. Yeah, it's been 4 months, Harrington. Give the man a break. He just lost his world title fight, okay? He got choked out by Charles Oliveira. He thought he was going to be champion of the world. This is a lifelong quest for him. He went in there like a man. He threw down, but it didn't go his way. And he had his hopes and dreams shattered, smashed, smeared all over the octagon canvas. And you're just making assessments, judgments, casting aspersions, saying this man's only going to fight once a year now. Shame on you, Harrington.
I have never cast an aspersion in my life. I will tell you that, I mean, we're now, you know, it's May, so we're officially now 6 months past December. He hasn't booked a fight yet. By the time that fight actually happens, we're going to be into the late summer. You got to assume July, August, somewhere around there. And at this track, I think it is likely that he's down to one fight a year. And it's like, you know, that is a little unfortunate as like a fan of Dustin Poirier, especially seeing him fight three times last year. But, you know, I mean, if that's where he's at in his career and if the title is no longer, you know, necessarily within one or two fights reach anymore, then, yeah, I can't blame him for trying to take a big money fight and fight once a year.
I cannot blame him either. I do believe that Marlon Chito Vera is here, though. So, Harrington, adios, amigo. Give me a two shot. We'll bring you back in a minute. What's up, Chito?
What's up, my man? All good.
Look at that. You have got a little mark on your face. I mean, because I was saying all weekend, I said, it's crazy. Chito took so many blows, was never hurt. He doesn't have a mark on him, but there's a little scratch or two on you.
Yeah, I got a scratch on my nose, and he was really close to poke my eyes multiple times, and the referee told him at the beginning, but that's actually like a real scratch.
Yeah, well, Chito, first of all, I just want to say thank you very much for being here. I really do, because, you know, you just fought the weekend. We had you on a couple of weeks ago. I didn't want to bother you and ask you to come on again, but that was such a performance at the weekend. I just had to reach out and see if you'll join us for a few minutes, because I was blown away. I was, Chito. It was just such an amazing fight. I don't know where to start. I mean, take a bow, my friend. It was fucking incredible. I'm sure you're inspiring so many people. But talk to me about it from your perspective, because round one, he got off to a good start. He came out. He was throwing a lot of shots. And you know, I'm sure you don't mind me saying, he definitely connected throughout the fight. But you just ate them and were never bothered. And just like, you were still messing around and you were like, you know, you're sticking your tongue out and having fun. At the start of every round, you were trying to get at the guy and Jason Herzog was having to hold you back. I mean, yeah, go on. The floor is yours, my friend.
I felt great. I had a great couple months of training before the fight. You know, people know this already. I'm not the guy that only gets ready for a fight. I get ready because that's my job, to be ready. If nothing is broken, if I'm not injured, if I'm not going through a really bad moment in my life, I should be in the gym every day. So I give credit to that. And you know, he came in. I knew he was coming crazy in the first round. He did came throw everything with every ounce of his body to try to knock me out. But I'm like, when you try too hard to hurt somebody, most likely you won't hurt that person, because he was showing those punches. It was very easy to see the punches because he was loading so hard that I can see the first and the last punch of each combination. So yes, couple ones touched me. I'm not perfect. Couple ones get to me, but I was like, it was almost like I knew with couple of seconds on advance they were coming. So, you know, I was able to like absorb it. I was able to roll with them, and a lot of them, I was catching. They were on my forearms and stuff like that. And I don't just catch punches like that, because you know, if you flinch too hard, people can come over the top. So I like to use the whole limb to just create a shield, and that's something I've been working with coach a lot too, just to don't get like, because I heard his corner yelling, make him catch. I was like, if you're planning on me catching, so you punch me, good luck tonight. And that's probably, he was very beat up too, because they were counting one little thing through the whole time, and I was like, I don't even defend like that. So who fucking cares? But they didn't adjust, or they probably don't have nothing else to tell him. But first of all, I knew he was coming strong. He missed way. He was probably trying to prove a point and try to like get a quick finish so people forget about him missing weight. But I was just too prepared. I was focused. I was sharp through the fight. I was having fun. And at the end, I had all the pressure in the world. First main event, I'm from Ecuador, all the cameras, US media, South American media, and Ecuador media, cameras all day. So it was a lot of pressure sucking out of my energy. But, you know, again, you got to handle that. You got to be able to manage that and accept it. And I just went through it, and it was okay. It was fine. And in the fight, we just went in there to fight our asses off.
Well, that you did, and that you did it in style. And you're right, because you were blocking a lot of them with your elbows and your shoulders. You did have a good shell defense, so well done on that. You know, you mentioned there about all the pressure and stuff, because it is your first main event, and you are very proud to represent Ecuador. Did you feel that? Did you feel a bit extra pressure? I mean, because for people that don't know, that haven't been main events like yourself and I, that there is... the workloads are much higher, isn't it? You know what I mean? The media obligations and everything, you know. Did you find that to be a distraction?
Not really. Like, I didn't feel the pressure. I just noticed there was way too much in my agenda. There was way too much on the obligation that UFC already put me on my five-week calendar. But I was just like, I just told myself, like, hey, man, it is what it is. If you really want to be a world champion, you got to be able to handle this, and you got to be able to do it. Whether you like it or not, you have to do it. It's up to you. If you go in there with a good energy and be yourself and speak well, or just be an asshole and be like, yeah, whatever, I'm ready. Fuck you. I don't want to do this because I'm cutting weight. But everything is attitude in life. If you put a negative attitude, you probably will get a negative outcome. So I was just okay with that. I was like, you know, if I need to work couple extra hours in order to get a main event, I don't mind it. I love to be a mini med. That was a great experience. And I'm glad the referee, I think the referee should have stopped the fight a couple of times. I'm glad he didn't did it because I get to get 5 rounds. I get to feel that. My feet is wet in that area. So now I'm good to go. You know, I have a great experience in this last fight. And, you know, from now on, you just keep building it. Keep getting better. Keep adding and keep progressing.
To your point just a moment ago, I just want to just for the viewers, when you check in fight week for a UFC fight, you're given your fight week obligations. And as you say, for a main event, it's much higher. And it is all about perspective because you can look at that and you can go, what the fuck? This is bullshit. I've got to fight at the weekend. Or you can flip it and say, do you know what? This is awesome. I'm in the main event. I've got all this extra exposure. I get to tell people about the fight. I get to make my product, my fight, a more successful business venture. Because that's what you want. You know what I mean? So that's the way you got to look at it. In the fight, as you say, you know, you almost stopped him a couple of times. It seemed every time you connected, you did a lot of damage. I mean, there was a jab. Was it the second round, I think? Boom, his eye came up straight away. There was a left hook at the end of the second round as well where he went down. It seemed the end of every round. He was wobbling all over the place. You put him down. No, I mean, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I do want to ask you about this, though. Slow starts, Cheeto. Would you say that you get off to a slow start? Because in the Frankie Edgar fight, you know, he got the first round. In the Jose fight, it was close, but you took the second round for sure. And now you have 5 rounds. It's not as big of a deal. But when there's 3 rounds, it can be an issue there, you know?
Yeah, I see people's point, and I like to hear because it's a good reminder to yourself so you can get better in little areas. Maybe I don't start really, really hard, but I want to have a good read on my opponents. I want to see the speed. I want to see the power. And it's not like I'm getting dropped and caught in the first one. Then I will be like, okay, I really need to readjust. But I just like to have a good study first because we've never been in front of each other in the past. But at the end of the day, I said this in the last 3 fights, somebody told me like, hey, that was kind of a slow. What do you think? I'm like, you know what? Yes, that was slow. I'm going to go back to the gym. I'm gonna do everything to improve it. I'm going to work on this. I'm gonna try to go a little harder. And sometimes in the sparring sessions, I've been starting really fast for the last 6 months. But in the gym is one animal. Real life is another animal. So I just think it's little by little. Trying to get that out of the way and just keep adding, keep improving because that's all that matters really. Like keep getting better at the things that are not great and keep perfecting the ones that are really good. So it's a never ending game. It's constantly going. And I always say the moment you stop, you will stay behind. You just gotta keep on going.
When you found out that he missed weight on Friday, 2.5 pounds. As you say, as we said a moment ago, everything's about perspective. It's how you look at that. But what were your thoughts when he missed weight?
I was concerned they pulled off the fight. If they see him kind of weak or he makes any whatever, you know. So I was like, fuck, come on. Let's get this going first. Second, when Sean Shelby came to me, he's like, hey, man, I don't know what you're going to say, but it's my job to tell you. If you say, fuck, this, I don't want to fight, he's heavy, he's not professional, that's totally fine. In the past, when fighters decide to not fight, it's okay. It's not like we will get mad or we will punish you or we say, fuck you. It's just my job to tell you what you want to ask you, what you want to do now. And I look him dead in the eye and say, hey, Sean, I came here for this. I came here to take number 5. I came here to win this fight. He can miss with 100 pounds. I'm fighting tomorrow night. And if he gets pulled up by the commission, please find me any fucking body to fight tomorrow night. He's not laughing.
Go on. Sorry. My bad. I thought you were finished.
He started laughing and said, you fucking crazy motherfucker. I was like, hey, man, I need this. I need this experience. This is a 5-rounder. This is different. I don't went through 5 weeks. I didn't make weight. I don't need all that. to dumb fight tonight. So let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. And not to mention, it wasn't just £100. Well, you said whether it's £2 or £100, you ended up with an extra $100,000, an extra $100,000 because he wasn't eligible for the fight of the night bonus. And I hate to rub it into him, and you got 20% of his purse as well. So it all worked out.
Right now, when I think, I just told myself, imagine you get a little nervous and you use that as an excuse to get off the fight and then start talking shit that you fucking bitch, you don't make way, blah, blah, blah. I will be right now sitting at my house with half of my purse because they probably will pay me show money and then just be like, fuck, I should have just fight him. And you don't know. What happened if somebody come and tell you, like, hey, you're going to be fine, you're going to win, and you're going to get an extra present. But that's impossible. Nobody can tell the future, but you can definitely gamble that motherfucker and go and get it.
Yeah, because you don't do all that work. You don't go through 2 months with one guy on your mind. You work towards peaking on that night. You make weight and all the rest of it. And yes, statistically, if you look at the stats or the history, people that miss weight, that come in a little heavy, the stats show that more often than not, they go on to win the fight. But I understand what you're saying. You don't do all that fucking work to say, do you know what? Nah, I'm not going to fight. No way. And that isn't the Chito Vera that we know and love.
That's impossible. I'm like, I don't work my ass off to come here and just be like, because the most important thing is experience, is walk the walk, get in the cage, and try to win. You don't get that without getting in there. Just like I told myself, like, there's no way I'm gonna decline a fight right now. Like, you can beat me at 55 for tomorrow with my getting in a fist fight. So I just need this. I need this to keep getting better.
End of every round, you had him in a lot of trouble. The second round was the left hook. Was it the third round where the hook kick came out? I mean, that was sensational. When you did that, because it's not often you see that kick thrown anyway, and it's not often that you see the kick thrown and it really has any impact. But that almost finished the fight.
Yeah, that was the hook kick and the side kick to the face. Mm. That was pretty good. And the way he went down, that slow mo is.
They just showed it. You didn't see it at your end, but they just showed it on the screen there. It was beautiful. He did. He went down all slow motion. I was like, oh my God, holy shit.
No, that was. Those are kicks that I do have in my arsenal. I do practice. I do a lot of things on the back. But sometimes you just save and bring new cards for each fight. You know, sometimes you use one thing and then you show another one. But you just consistency over time. You sharpen all the tools. And I know I got power in the legs and in my hands. That's why you can see the way his face looked. But that thing came in clutch for this fight. The high kicks, the side kicks. I was like, I think they say, why you ignore 50% of the body? I touch him everywhere I could.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 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 you really did. After the fight, did you and Rob speak at all?
Not really. We didn't did medicals together. And then in the fight, I shake his hand and I said, hey, cool, whatever. Like, just next time you talk, make sure you do the work. But
yeah.
I don't know if you hear me, and then I just walk away. Like, I already beat you. I don't need to talk shit or step on top of you. That's not my thing. But I did tell him, like, next time you talk the way you talk, make sure you work before you talk.
Because fair I'm enough, like, fair enough.
I'm honest. You know, I'm not in there trying to find lines and trying to create media. I'm simple. I'm gonna fuck you up. I'm gonna really get in there and ruin your life. But that's what I work for. That's my job. Besides that, I don't need to talk. But yeah, I don't think we talk more than that. And I don't feel like we need to talk either. We're not friends. So
yeah, yeah.
I talk to my friend. Thank you.
There you go, buddy. There you go. I'm going to get to that stuff in just a second. Just staying on the fight. After the fight, when we spoke in the cage, it was a beautiful moment, Marlon. It really was. Your wife was there, your three children, you know, and you were getting a little emotional on the microphone. And I've been there myself because I understand, because, you know, it is an emotional journey that you go through, you know, going through a training camp, dedicating yourself to it, staying away from your wife and children, from your family, going out there, fighting your heart and soul out, letting it all go. And then the pressure's off, you know, it is an emotional moment, but just, Talk to me about that moment.
That was beautiful. You know, I have a wife, my kids, my mother, my father, like for the first time they were in the building. So like my dad had been there before, but my mom, my mother-in-law, my sister, her husband. So it was like I had a lot of family in there in that specific moment. And it was just like, fuck, we made it. Like we keep doing history. Like I'm the first Ecuadorian, not just to fight in the UFC, but to main event and won like that. It was just a lot of big things kind of like accomplished in one night. So I was like, I couldn't contain it. I was like, I was happy. I saw my kids smiling. Like I saw like Nacho doing me the feat. And I was like, this is too fucking cool. So, and you know, I know the work I've been working my ass off. So it just things that come to you and you get them done. So it was great.
Yeah, because for you, like myself, like a lot of fighters, it's a lifetime's work that got you to that moment. I mean, that's the biggest win of your career, you know, main event, you know, all over the world, and you win. It's a fight like that. Yeah, that's what people don't understand. It's a lifetime sacrifice, a lifetime dedication. Yes, you just worked your fucking ass off for 2 months. Where were we?
My post speech, I got emotional, and I was just saying, like, it was just a lot of things accomplished at one moment, and, you know, my whole family in there, like, all the work you put for that half an hour of work, it's like, you work 1,000 hours for, like, literally nothing. So it was just a lot going on, and, you know, couldn't contain it. I was just very happy for absolutely everything happening in my life.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was, Chito. And I, not that I'm staying on these emotions and stuff, but people like it when they see that, you know, when they get to see the other side of the human being, you know what I mean? Because we always put on this tough exterior, you know, I'll kick your fucking ass, fuck you, blah, 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 I'll fight anyone. But we are only human and we do have emotions, you know what I mean? You go through that. So it's only natural to release that. So I thought it was absolutely beautiful, buddy. I really did. Now, I saw you a little clip this morning on our Juanes show, talking shit, calling out one Dominic Cruz, saying, I always called you out and you always said, I only want to fight people ahead of me. And then you said, well, now guess what, motherfucker? I'm number 5.
I'm ahead right now. Yeah, we talk a little bit about everything. And, you know, he asked me, like, what you want? So I was like, you know what? In a perfect world, I would love to kick Aldo ass. Like, I would love to stop him. I would love to just get to know to have 10 extra minutes and be like, now what? Now try to hold me 1 round out of 5. But that's not here or there. So he beat me. Good for him. But I was like, that's one thing. If I can choose right now, I would choose that. That's not possible. Then I'm like, you know, Cruz is a former champion. He will definitely keep me up there, and he'll probably make me move up the ladder anyway, even if I rank ahead of him, just because what he accomplished before. So I'm like, now I'm ahead. So now I'm your ticket to the top 5. If you want to come and conquer it. If you don't want it, I cannot force you. But then we will see your true colors. But who knows, man? Peter Yan called me out too. He can get it too. Henry Cejudo say something about it. So now I'm in the top 5. So now I'm not the guy that I'm desperate for a fight. Now the good fight will just come. But if I can pick, those first two can be a good main event.
Yeah, well, that's it. You're one of the top dogs now, you know, and you've earned it. And I said Saturday night throughout the evening, you know, we talk about your fight and whatnot. And I said, Chito's done it the long way round. You know what I mean? You get the experience, you have... You go on a win streak, you lose one here and there, kind of like I did it. But the reason I'm saying this is because when you get to that position, the position that you're in now, you've got the experience, you've been through it, you've learned about yourself, you've figured out what maybe you were doing wrong in the past. Who, I mean, so there's Dominic Cruz, obviously Aljamain is the champ. Who do you think he's going to fight next? There's TJ and there's Aldo. I know Aldo's out there talking to Aljamain Sterling. I saw a tweet from him. Aldo was being very respectful. Go on.
I really think it's going to be TJ for the belt next. And I think that's fine. I think that's what is supposed to happen. But if Henry Cejudo just come back like that and he have a good conversation with the UFC, he might jump the ladder. So then I see, I can imagine they do former champ against former champ in Aldo and TJ. But then I'm still having Dominic there in the back pocket. I still having Sanhagen around. So I think there's no bad fight right now. And I'm not big. I'm not the guy that says like, okay, this guy will beat me. I can 100% beat this one. I can just go in there and beat whoever they put in front of me. So right now, I don't need to go crazy and rush. So, and I'll be ready. I'm not going to sit down in the couch for 3 months and expect a fight. I'm going to go back to the gym in the middle of the week and keep going because that's it.
Yeah. Well, because that's what you do, because you're a maniac.
That's what I do.
Because you never take any goddamn time off. I was talking to Cruz, and Cruz said he's hoping to fight in August. He's training now for that. I said, who's it going to be? And he literally said, I don't have an opponent. You tell me, Bisping, who should I fight? So, not that I'm playing matchmaker, but that does seem like a perfect fit. From your perspective, it's a former champion, one of the GOATs of the division, you know, definitely a legend of the sport.
100%.
So it'd be a big name. And for his sake, you're ranked number 5. He's trying to fight for the belt again. So August, would that be a time that works for you?
That's easy.
Yeah, yeah.
What month are we running?
1st of May, 2nd of May. I hear you.
Motherfucker, again.
There we. No, you're good. You're good. We're sexy, baby. We're good. We're flying. Oh, he's hanging up again. There he is. Harry Tony on.
What's going on, Mr. Bisping?
How are you, sir? We're just keeping the show rolling so Brian doesn't have to edit the shit out of this.
Oh, look at us being nice to Brian.
I know.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Chito's back. All right. Chito.
Oh, we were talking about the month. I think August is fine, you know. May, April, May. Yeah, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's fine. We will see. We will see and keep us posted. Now, Saturday night, you were very kind enough to do a little video with me on my YouTube channel. You said you're going to going out. You were going to drink a little whiskey. Talk to me about the Saturday night celebrations. I always want to know about this. What was it? Nice and mellow?
It was mellow, but, you know, we spent, everybody was there, like the teammates, my family. It was like a nice reunion in there. We eat some pizza, we drink a couple beers, we sip a couple shots, but we didn't get crazy. We just have a really good time. We were talking shit, just cracking jokes, you know, just the whole nine yards, smoking a joint, chilling a little beer. Another slice of pizza. Just let everything sit down and, you know, just kind of like let the energy go down and just enjoy the moment, because we know that's the only day we can really do kind of like whatever we want. And after that, you just got to go back to the drawing board. So we had fun. You should have come.
I know I should have done, but I drove in and you know what I mean? If I ended up having a few, I would have been... Like, well, now I've got to stay, and then I wake up hungover in Las Vegas. No, we'll do it soon. We're going to treat you to dinner soon. You know, we'll all get together maybe this weekend if you're free. But what you just described, that's perfect. Because, you know, in Vegas, you know, there's after parties at nightclubs and all that. That's a pain in the fucking ass. I love nothing better. As you say, you got your family, you got your dad, your coaches, your manager, teammate, the people from Rookie, your children.
That's it.
Sit down, some pizza, some drinks, some laughs, some talking. That's perfect.
That's the perfect goal. Like, I think I've never been a club in my life, the US. Like,
oh really?
Yeah, like, you don't need that shit. Like, I've been there in club my whole life before. And it's like, you can even fucking talk to the people. It's like, blah, 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 blah. Like, fuck
I
that.
Hate it.
I want to talk, have a good time. I can get fucked up drunk in a hotel room. I'd rather do that than being in a fucking noisy dark with people I don't fucking know.
Yeah. No, I hate it. All right. Well, listen, before we let you get out of here, we know that Harrington, our friend here, is obsessed with you. So Harrington, on you come. We went to Twitter, Chito, and we asked the people of Twitter if they had any good questions for you. So Harrington should have, singled out a few good ones. I saw one that I'm going to ask in a moment. But Harrington, what have the people of Twitter got for Chito Vera?
All right, this is a fun one. Do you want me to shout out the handles? Let me see.
Go on, real quick.
All right, from at PD87 underscore, if you could choose one extra cornerback.
This is the one I was going to ask.
I knew I was picking a good one. If you could pick one extra cornerman for your next fight, would you choose Michael Bisping or Luke Rockhold?
Oh, you motherfucker. Why are you born like that? Well, on history and on bones with relationship, I will go with Bisping because he was a world champion under my coach. So,
But that's another. Go with that's another win. I just won the rubber match of that one.
Hey, whoever that under that guy was, fuck you, dude.
What else, Harrington?
All right, from Danny Manis, number one. What's the first thing you are going to say to Mike Bisping on the mic when you become champion?
Baby, we did it.
Hey, on that note, Marlon. Yeah. Do you feel it? Can you sense that? Hold on. Maybe this year, next year, you're going to be the champion. Have you allowed yourself to go there mentally?
I can feel the energy. I can feel it's coming. I really do. Like, yeah. No bullshit. I can really smell it. I just feel the way my life is going. Like, I just feel it's coming.
Well, life is good. Happen. Life is good. Harrington, give us one more before we let Cheeto get out of here. And thanks again, Cheeto. You're a good man. I appreciate it. Go on, Harrington. Give us one more.
This came in just quite a bit of times. And I I feel like I'm doing a bunch of people's questions here. At Fakely Ingrate asks, who in the top five, right? You're in the top five now at Bantamweight. But, you know, who else among those top five is the toughest fight for you in your mind?
Ooh.
Really say this many times, there's no an easier fight. They're just as equal as tough. And even the one that you think is going to be easier can become the hardest one. So I don't really see who's going to be the tougher fight. It's more about styles and it's more about what's their strength. So I think they are just as equal, as hard as any other one.
Yeah. And I agree, to be honest. Yeah, right now, Aljamain's the champ, but there's a potential for that belt to be changing hands all the time. So, all right, Cheeto, listen, we'll let you go, buddy. Maybe this weekend, if you're free, let's go out, get dinner, a few drinks. I'm not working either, so I'll shoot a text. Maybe we'll get Perillo and the ladies out involved as well. So just one more time, congratulations. I'm so proud of you. You've seen your work ethic, the way you train, your approach to the fight game, how much better you continue to get. The shows that you put on, Cheeto, it's fucking beautiful, man. I'm so happy for you. Well done.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate you for having me.
Hey, anytime.
Let's do that this weekend. Let's get together.
Hey, I'm down. I'm serious. I'm down for it. And we'll have no YouTube videos. No fucking camera phones. My bad.
Let's do it.
Enjoy the victory. Take it easy. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, brother. Bye-bye.
My man. And there he is. The one and only Marlon Cheeto Vera. What a guy he is.
Absolutely stunning. I mean, I did want to ask him a little bit about this, but I mean, like, I'm looking at those stats, right? And like that first round, 5 of 21 strikes to the head landed, but 14 of 15 leg strikes. And like just staying committed, going to the bank over and over again, attacking Rob's legs. That part of him saying a lot of people don't attack half of the body, like just going for every single target. I feel like he is the most well-rounded in the top five right now. A monster on the ground, a beast on the feet, and a chin made of what? I mean, titanium? It's insane.
The chin. The chin's unbelievable. Because, he did block a lot of shots. I think it kind of looked worse than what it was because Rob had a tremendously high output. I think one of the highest outputs we've seen. And a lot of them, some of them were getting through, and a lot of them, he was blocking them on the elbows and the forearms and stuff. But there still was some solid shots got through. It's a 5-round fight with a world-class opponent. Mm-hmm. And he never reacted. He never took a backward step. He didn't move. You never saw anything like that. I mean, he definitely has a bloody chin of iron. It's unbelievable. Anyway, go on. What were you going
to
say?
I just wanted to say the closest you saw, Rob, you could see he landed flush. He landed one cross, like a big power shot flush. And you saw Cheeto just go, Shut up. Come on.
Stick his tongue out. He was doing a little dance, you know. It was unbelievable. So proud of him. I really am, you know. All right, guys, just real quick, I want to talk to you about Manscaped. Look, listen, if you're looking to trim downstairs, you know the deal. You want to do it without hurting yourself. You want to do it with Manscaped. Manscaped has been around for ages. I love this product. I use it all the time. I trim my chest with it as well. I trim my arms, and I certainly trim my balls. And I have no nicks, grazes, anything like that. The 4.0 is the latest iteration. It's got a great improved engine. It's got a light. It's got a charging stand. You know, it's just better. It's better, and it goes for longer, and the battery lasts forever, you know. Also, Manscaped, they do other products. They have a nose clipper, okay? I'll tell you what I use to wash this beautiful head of hair every day. Manscaped 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. Do you know what I mean? It's really good. I used to use Head & Shoulders, but my hair's a little frizzy. I know you're not interested in this, but I'm telling you, the Manscaped 2-in-1 hair shampoo and conditioner combination, it is the one. It is the one. They've also got the Crop Preserver. It is an anti-chafing, ball deodorant, and moisturizer. They got the Crop Reviver. They got the nose hair trimmer. They got the ball shaver. Basically, if you're a man and you take your grooming seriously, if you want to smell good, you want to wash your hair, you need to go to manscaped.com. Check out all their products and then use the code BISPING20 when you're there, because then that's going to get you 20% off and free shipping. Go to manscaped.com. All kinds of products for the average man. BISPING20 is the code. 20% off with free shipping. So I want to talk about this though. Saturday night. Brian, if you go to Luke Rockhold's Instagram, you'll see him there mocking me. Right? Rockhold was there, and we're fine now. We're good. He's only having a laugh. But he was sneaking up behind me and coming to the side and putting his hand over my eye to see. And I had no idea he was there. I had no idea he was doing it, but then he was getting, look, there he is. You know, son of a bitch. And then I spotted him after that one, because I'm like, he's like, oh, shit, it was the wrong side. But yeah, so he was there. He was having a few drinks. He was enjoying himself. But I tell you what, so then Dana texted me when I was driving home. Dana sent me a screenshot of that. He said, are you guys cool? I said, yeah, it's all water under the bridge. He said, oh, okay. So I was going to say, what the fuck was security doing, letting him get to you like that? But no, we're all good. We're all good. What should we talk about? So UFC Paris, that's happening. I'm very excited. Yeah, no, I'm excited because I'm going to be commentating that.
Are you really?
I'm off to Paris. Yes. I'm going to be getting my air miles. I'm off to Singapore next month.
Hell yeah, we're all going to Paris.
Yeah, baby. BYM in Paris. Could you imagine? All we need is another 300,000 subscribers. Then we can afford to fly you guys there and do that shit. So subscribe and ring the bell if you haven't done that yet, motherfuckers. But yeah, Paris, Singapore, London. We're going all over the world, baby. Who's the fight on that?
Cyril Gan, because it's, you know, in Paris, and he's fighting Tai Tuivasa.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great fight. It's a tough one for both men. But it's...
So what happens to the winner of this fight? Because the top of the division is all jammed up.
Well, it's John Jones versus Stipe. They're going to fight for an interim belt, right, while Francis is recovering or going off to box Tyson Fury, whatever happens there. You got Tom Aspinall fighting Curtis Blaydes, and then you've got Cyril Gane fighting Tai Tuivasa. I think they're the top guys, right? Who else am I missing?
No, that's it. But it just seems like it's a long way for anybody who's not Francis Ngannou or Jon Jones or Stipe to get to the belt.
Mm. No, it does. It does. And it's just the situation, I guess. But... you're gonna have Cyril Gane is an awesome fella. I spoke to him a few times now. He's a really, really nice guy. He's a classy guy. You know, he's your typical French gentleman. Or as when I first met George St. Pierre, I had this training partner with me. And he said, you know, Alex, you are a real gentleman. And I went, a real what is that? A real gentleman. And when he's a lemon? He's a gentleman. Gentleman, because it's the way it's spelled, bless him. And I'm, oh shit, a real gentleman. Yeah, and so is Cyril Gane. Cyril Gane is a classy individual. Then you got Tai Tuivasa in gay Paris. They're fucking doing shoeies and all the rest of it. That's going to be an interesting clash of styles in many, many ways.
Dude, somebody's going to try to pour him like a shoey with wine, and then he's going to get all fucked up. There'll be a whole to-do.
I can't wait. I can't wait. Off to Paris. Let's go, baby, baby.
Well, like, that is interesting, though, especially if you do have Jones fight Stipe for an interim title. I mean, with, you know, if Tuivasa and Aspinall both get the win there, you would assume both men would have to be, you know, like, right there for a title. Who, like, what do you do next? Could you see a situation where not only are Stipe and John Jones fighting for an interim title, but one of those guys is going to have to defend an interim title?
Well, potentially. It all depends with Francis. It all depends how quickly he can come back, whether or not this fight with Tyson Fury materializes. So it's a lot of if, buts, and maybes. You know what I mean? We just don't know how that's going to play out. The reality is Jones and Stipe, let's say that goes down in September. Real quick, who do you think wins that?
If John Jones is in a fight, I got to pick John Jones. I'm sorry.
Yeah, pretty much. Have you seen the footage of him just dicking around in the gym? He looks... super slick.
No, can you bring terrifying. It up? Is it on his Instagram?
Yeah, I'll try to find it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not
no,
sure
I'm
where I found it, but I'll look.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so if Jones and Stipe fight, so let's say September, August, September, those other fights are happening. So it's around the same time-ish. If Tom wins and Tuivasa wins, I say they fight each other. You know what I mean? They're gonna end up doing it anyway. You know what I'm saying? At some point, it all depends. Let's have a look here. Yeah, I've seen this stuff before. He's a big lump these days, and he's an athletic big lump. And unlike, because Cyril Garn is a big, strong, athletic big lump, as a lot of them are. I've got to stop calling them athletic big lumps. There are athletic big lumps, but he can wrestle like a bitch, this man, John Jones. Mm-hmm. And he's been at the toppest level forever. Forever, man. Forever. He fought on UFC 100 when I got knocked out. That, to me, feels like a lifetime ago. He's still smashing it. He's still considered the GOAT and all that stuff. I mean, he has got a tremendous amount of experience, man. It's unbelievable.
Sorry, that was some old footage. I think this is a little newer.
Oh, yeah, he definitely looks bigger. Yeah?
And he looks more comfortable fucking at slick. Heavyweight.
Well, that's the thing. He is very, very slick as well, isn't he? He is the slickest. Did we talk about the brain injury of Colby Covington? Because I just saw his face pop up on the end of that video. Did we talk about that last week?
Yeah, we did. We talked about the brain injury. We talked about the stay away order. Have you seen the pictures of the missing tooth?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen the pictures of him, the TMZ pictures. He's got a little bruise or whatnot. You know, it's nothing too bad on the face. But yeah, there is a tooth missing. Yeah, yeah. Did he not always have a tooth missing?
As far as I know, no.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't like that. Seems to me like that was taken as evidence of, you know, what the attack that Jorge Masvidal perpetrated that night.
Yep, yep. No, for sure. Absolutely. That's why you take pictures. That's why if you ever get involved in like an accident, you know what I mean, and you fall over and you hurt yourself and you want to put a little lawsuit in, you know what I mean? Take a picture. Take a picture straight away. Hold on, listen. Yeah, maybe the police took that, but yeah, one of his front teeth. Yeah.
Wow.
Well. Anyway, we talked about it last week. Fuck it off. Changing subject.
Put that on your pillow. The tooth fairy will bring you a lawsuit.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, Dustin Poirier, we talked about that. Right. UFC 274 is happening this weekend. We're saving most of the talk for Thursday for Anthony Smith so we can delve. We can go deep on the analysis. But, you know, we could talk a little bit about it. What's Rose Namajunas saying?
So Rose Namajunas, believe it or not, says that the KO slam that she received from Jessica Andrade in their fight back in 2019 actually cured like a long time just spinal problems that she had. She had said she had a problem with like one of her C-something vertebrae and like spinal meningitis she was having, like, or some kind of spinal thing. She
spinal
was,
meningitis.
I don't remember. But
bro,
I'm not a doctor.
Spinal meningitis.
Spinal stenosis, maybe?
Stenosis.
That's different. Sure.
Okay. Well, sure.
I have spinal stenosis. I mean,
I had meningitis.
Did you really, Brian?
Yeah. I almost died. It was pretty awful.
Yeah,
it was like, I don't know, 12 years ago.
Hold on. I thought meningitis was predominantly children.
I had mono and it turned into meningitis and I for real almost died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. In fact, what am I saying? I think my grandmother died of meningitis. I don't know. I don't know. I've never met her. I was a child. I don't know. I don't know. But I got stenosis. I mean, oh, versus, ooh, it's not quite as big. My whole right side is, what do you do? Atrophy.
All that happened to Baz too, right?
Baz Rutan. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's the neck. The neck. So I understand what Rose is saying. So basically, you know, if in doubt, give it a clout. She got hit one side and it fucking trapped a nerve. And then Jessica Andrade picked her up, slapped her on the other side, and it fucking released it. That's what she's saying. That's what she's alluding to.
Says that she's had no more headaches since then. You know, her training is better. Her range of motion is better. I mean, maybe next time you're hanging out with Luke Rockhold, just have him slam you real good once or twice.
Well, I need this. As you were saying all that stuff, the range of motion, mine zero. The headaches, bro. The fucking headaches that I have. Every day, guaranteed. About 5 p.m. So the doctor, I went to see him last week, and I think we talked about this recently, didn't we? So, but I went to see the doctor. He said, yeah, it's either hereditary. He said, do your parents have headaches? I'm like, no. And they went, well, you have had a lot of trauma in your life, you know, so it's probably that. He said, nothing to be alarmed at. Doesn't mean you've got a brain tumor or anything like that. It just means, you know, you're going to get headaches. So he injected me in the arm with this thing called Nurtec. He said, that'll get rid of it for a month, and he's giving me these pills.
Is that birth control?
I have no idea, but guess what? No one's fucking penetrating me, so do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter, birth control or not. I ain't getting pregnant. Not that I can. Anyway, so yeah, Jessica Andrade, God bless. Not Jessica Andrade, Amanda Nunes. Rose. Should we talk about this fight real quick? Amanda Nunes, Carla Esparza, real quick, going down this weekend, UFC 274.
Rose versus Carla.
What did I say?
Amanda.
Did I? Well, yeah. I've been hitting the head a lot, as I just said a moment ago. I've got one of my headaches kicking in. No, Rose Namajunas, Carla Esparza. Tough outing for Carla. It is. I mean, Carla's on a hell of a win streak. I think, what, 5 in a row or something? Last one, I think, against Wu Yanan, was it? Got the crucifix and pounded her out. Carla's good. She fights to her strength, uses a lot of wrestling. Problem is, Rose Namajunas. Oof, she's awesome. I love watching her fight.
Yeah, I mean, Rose is absolutely a beast. And you think back to, like, you know, the first time they fought, what was Rose, like 19, 20 years old, something like that?
Yeah, straight off the Ultimate Fighter, exactly.
Right, in the finale there. Yeah, way back in 2014. So it's like, you know, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fight win streak for Carla coming into this one. And, you know, I mean, she has been working on getting this fight back for quite some time against Rose, especially somebody who she has a win over. Mm-hmm. For Rose, it makes the most sense in the world, right? Like, yeah, why not go back and avenge every single loss I've ever had? That sounds pretty awesome.
Yes. What are the losses of Rose's record? I know we had the... she beat Jan Jacek, so there was no loss there. I think it was Carla Esparza, Jessica Andrade. Is there any others?
Tisha Torres.
Oh, she beat her, right? She avenged that already, I think.
And then yeah, she did avenge that, actually. And then a split decision loss to Karolina Kowalkiewicz, which she did not avenge, but Lord knows, I think Rose absolutely takes her to the woodshed, Rose versus current day Karolina. So.
Yeah, and she's not really, I mean, I think she's got a fight coming up soon. Karolina Kowalkiewicz. I don't know. Maybe you're right. But still, yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, anyway, Rose is great. Right, Justin Gaethje, Charles Oliveira. I'm trying to not talk about it. I'm excited for it this weekend. Justin Gaethje says that Charles Oliveira better be prepared to walk through hell. What do you think? We're going to talk to Anthony Smith. I'm not going to give my prediction yet, but what's your early prediction, Harrington? How do you see this going down? Because right now, everyone watching on the YouTube premiere, right, they are itching to know which way you're leaning. That's why where they're going to place the bets. Oh yeah, you carry a lot of weight in the MMA world, Harrington.
This is gonna really affect the betting lines here. We should get it. Like, we should do like the how they do during the fight, how the line changes. We should do that for this.
Give me a pick.
I gotta say Charles Oliveira. Why would I pick against Charles Oliveira? Give me any good reason to pick against Charles Oliveira. I mean, the guy has an insane skill set.
It's because Justin Gaethje has a brick for a head, and he's. And he's a really good wrestler. So it's
who are you picking, Brian?
I think Justin Gaethje is going to win. I think he's going to be probably the toughest fight for Charles Oliveira so far.
Yeah, stylistically, excuse me. If you look at it, he's got the wrestling on his side, Justin Gaethje, right? So therefore, you would say that determines he can keep the fight on the feet. Obviously, Oliveira could knock him down. Fastest takedown in the game is a left hook, baby. But if you see the way that he took or choked out Dustin Poirier, it wasn't a traditional takedown. Kind of had a body lock, I think, and then he jumped on the back, didn't he, and kind of dragged him down like that. So it doesn't matter how good of a wrestler you are. If somebody's doing that to you, that's a good way to get around that. Charles has the momentum on his side. He doesn't seem to quit these days. Doesn't seem to get tired. He's in the right weight class. He does get hit, though, and Justin Gaethje can crack. I mean, the punchy power that he has. One of the big advantages that I think Justin Gaethje has is that Kamaru Usman is his primary training partner. And if he's been in the gym with him every day, it doesn't get better than that. The pound for pound number one fighter on the planet, right, or in MMA, bigger than you, stronger than you, a fantastic wrestler. Of course, he can get hold of good jiu-jitsu training partners. Oh, it's just a good fight. It's a tremendous fight.
Yeah, and then add in their training at elevation too. So, like, you know, Gaethje's going to have 1.5 times the gas tank at sea level, you know?
And that's a real factor as well. I remember I did a training camp with Team Rampage, UFC, what was it? UFC 70, no, UFC 75, when I fought Matt Hamill and turned the entire MMA community off me. I was very popular until that fight. I was very popular. But then after that fight, no one liked me for a while. But I did that kind of a dickhead. But still, went out to Big Bear, California, trained with Rampage and his whole team up there. And I got to say, that does make such a difference training at elevation, because in that fight, I felt so good. Because, you know, the cardio, it's so much better, and that's such a big tool to have. So it's a great fight. It's a fantastic. We'll give proper predictions from Anthony and I on Thursday's show. We'll hear what the Smith has to say on it as well. What else is going on in the world of MMA, Harrington?
Let me see here. There was, just because she was on last week, I mean, shout out to Macy Barber, got her wish. She's getting Jessica Eye at UFC 276, I believe it is, in June. You know, because Casey O'Neill dropped out. So short notice replacement, turn it around real quick, gets a win, and then books a fight within 6 days. God bless.
Nice. And that's a good winnable fight for her. Don't get me wrong, Jessica Rye is a tough opponent, but it's one that'll do good for her. Casey O'Neill. So she was meant to fight Jessica Rye. What's wrong with Casey O'Neill? Oh, torn ACL.
Torn ACL.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's a real shame. Casey O'Neill has a bright future, I'm telling you. I think she's undefeated, still doing great in the UFC. She's got that attitude as well that some people like or hate, whichever one it is. It's polarizing. Remember, she flipped off the entire crowd in, I think it was Houston.
Now, how bad of an injury is that in terms of torn ACL? Your career up?
Yeah, it can be bad. It can be bad. I mean, you're talking 9 to 12 months. Generally, some people do faster. Some people are slower, you know, but 9 to 12 months out, you don't know if you're ever going to be the same. You know what I mean? And let's call it a year. That's a fucking, it's a son of a bitch. I remember I tore my PCL right before I won the Ultimate Fighter. And they said to me there, they said, you can either have surgery now. You're going to be out for 2 years-ish. And it's not guaranteed to work. Or you can just continue and live in pain. He said, because a lot of NFL guys tear their PCL. It's a common injury and they still go on and have a long career. I said, yeah, sure, let's go down that route. He never said when you're 43, you're going to have 2 fucking knee replacements and probably 15 surgeries along the way before you get there. But still.
That's wild that's where technology was. Like, because a PCL isn't still a 2-year injury, right?
No, but that was the conversation I had with the doctor at the time. Yeah.
That's wild to me just how much, like, you know, the surgery must have, like, you know, the surgery game must have stepped itself up in such a short period of time since, you know, you were on the Ultimate Fighter. That's pretty cool.
Bro, never mind just that. They now have robotic eyes, right? Just Google that, Brian, or Jamie, look that up. Wow. yeah, but they do. I think they have digital eyes that they can replace. You know what I mean? I'm like, if this gets affordable and it comes in real quick, I'm coming back. Left hook Larry is back, baby. I mean, if Nick Newell can do it with one hand, I can do it with one eye and one robotic eye.
I mean, you know, I always thought it's a little unfair that Rafael Dos Anjos got a surgically repaired jaw and he's now got titanium in there to absorb some punches. So why wouldn't you be able to have a robot eye that could, you know, detect the motion, you know, range of your opponents or whatever?
So apparently a robot eye costs about 150 grand and restores minimal vision.
Minimal.
Right.
Well, that's a shame. Tell me this, Brian, see if you can Google, can you take punches with it? Yeah. Or will it malfunction?
Well,
Johnny Five.
It seems to be a very sensitive camera situation. I don't know how well they take punches, but I'm assuming that well.
No, I'm sure it's not. Oh, well, one can dream. One can dream. Today, we are welcoming back IPVanish VPN to the show. You know the deal. IPVanish has been a longtime sponsor of ours, so it's so great to have them back. And let me tell you about IPVanish. If you care about the security of your online activity, and you really should, the easiest way to protect yourself is with IPVanish VPN. Rated 4 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot, IPVanish provides an encrypted connection for all of your internet traffic, helping to prevent websites, Wi-Fi providers, or even hackers from intercepting your data. You know, we're talking all your financial details, personal information, online activity is completely safe from threats with IPVanish, okay? You're not going to get hacked. You're not going to have people logging into your bank account, people hacking your Instagram, your social media and all that stuff, and changing your passwords and blackmailing you. Believe me, that stuff goes on, okay? IPVanish eradicates all of that. And also, if you're in other countries, you can maybe access certain pornographic websites. What do I know? But still, get started. If you're in Abu Dhabi, trust me, it's going to come in handy. Get started with this limited time offer and save 50% off your monthly and annual subscriptions by going to ipvanish.com/believe. 50% off, ladies and gentlemen. One more time, that is ipvanish.com/believe. And that's all lowercase, by the way. Okay, where were we? Zabit Magomed Sharipov. The Zabiti. I mean, he was looking like the next champion in the making. It was a very tough nut to crack, but what's he done? Gone off become a lawyer. What a loser.
Seems like he's going to zabeat it out of the UFC.
Oh, you've had that in your back pocket all day.
Yep.
You've been dying to say that. Oh, my God.
So he is apparently going to become a doctor. He's working in the healthcare field. He posted a picture today. It's just him in like a doctor's thing. And he's like, yeah, exciting new career opportunities opening up. I guess he's done with hurting people. And he wants to help people.
Oh, well, good for him. Good for him. That's amazing. You know? Yeah. I mean, because when you look at Zabit, obviously, you know, he's, I think he competed at 145, right? So not the biggest guy in the world. I'm very tall for the weight class, though. And when you look at him, he's got kind of a friendly face, you know, and now he's going to be being a doctor. So he's going to wear his bloody doctor's stuff, uniform, coat, whatever you call it, outfit that a doctor wears. Could you imagine if it all kicked off? You would not think. He's kind of unassuming to look at, do you know what I mean? But Zabit Magomed Sharipov, he was an absolute force inside the octagon. He was not a man to mess with.
I was a big fan of him. I'm a little upset about this, to be honest.
How dare he provide himself with a solid financial future?
I don't think it's that. It's I really do think it was just a morality thing. Like, he had talked for a while about being a very religious man and having a situation where he could not live with the consequences of like going in there having to fight another man one-on-one in bare combat, trying to inflict pain on someone
and pulling him apart by his legs.
Brian got very excited to say that one. That's interesting. That is interesting. Yeah. So that it was more. Did he speak about that, Harrington?
I mean, he has spoken openly about being a religious man and being conflicted about his career as a fighter. So, you know, I mean, with the pandemic and the time off, I'm assuming that just opened some more doors for him. And he was like, well, I can try something else instead.
Well, that's another reason why religion's a lot of shit. Do you know what I mean? It's going to conflict your ideas or your thinking. In fact, talking to Magomed Sharipov, the religion that you're talking about is Muslim, if I'm not mistaken. You know, Harrington was trying to get us to show videos of the Quran being burnt and all kinds of stuff.
He's trying to get us not only thrown off YouTube, but also murdered in the street. It's
yes,
pretty crazy.
Yes. The Magomed Sharipovs are going to come after us. No. That's actually very nice of him. And I wish him all the best. Good luck in your retirement. Good luck with your new career, Magomed Sharip. Got any questions? We're going to do a shorter show today, obviously. We've got no Anthony Smith. We're going to do a big breakdown of UFC 274, and we'll have a couple of guests as well on Thursday's show. Brian, what do we have? And by the way, if you do want to send in some questions, remember, bympod@gmail.com. We've got some new merch in the works as well. So we're working on that. And Harrington, you have something to say?
I do have something to say. If you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure that you are subscribed to the show and come on down to the, you know, review rating section. Give us 5 stars, leave a positive review. It helps with every algorithm you can think of. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure that you are, you know, subscribed to the channel and hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode drops. And if you want over 300 episodes of this show, you cannot find anywhere else, ad-free and uncensored, GasDigitalNetwork.com is the place. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial and check out over 30 great shows on the network.
Do that indeed. And I'm just looking because I have a little plug of my own to do. Tales from the Octagon is coming back. And I'm just trying to find, I should know the cities, but I don't. It's Dublin. It's Belfast. It's Stockholm. It's Oslo. It's Copenhagen. It's Amsterdam. Auckland, New Zealand. Melbourne. Sydney. The Gold Coast, Leeds, Newcastle, Manchester, London, Cardiff. There's a lot of them, and I'm actually terrified for this travel schedule. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, well, I'm going to be dead by the time this is done. But still, if you want to come and see a very jet-lagged Michael Bisping, myticket.co.uk is the website. Can't wait for it. Last year was a lot of fun. I'm working on a lot of new stuff. Got some good new tales for you. So myticket.co.uk, check that out. Anyway, Brian, do we have any questions talking of the plugs?
We do have some questions here, but I have a question. When is when are you getting your UFC strike moment?
He keeps asking about this. He goes on about the NFTs. He
does. I
haven't even looked it up yet. I got to look into it. I do. I bought a few. I haven't looked yet. We'll have a look at the end of the show. Who's this fella with the big beard?
This is Christian James.
Oh, Christian James. I like Christian. Press play.
What's up, BYM podcast? All right. So right now I'm watching the latest episode and you guys are talking about Amber Heard allegedly shitting Johnny Depp's bed, or as he referred to it as fecal matter. So in the spirit of these crazy bitches, what is the craziest thing a girl has done to you? For me, it was about 2003, a girl I'd been dating 3 months before. I woke up at like, 7 a.m. and she's just sitting on the end of my bed. This is pre-smartphone, so she's not doing anything. She's just sitting there like she's waiting for a bus. Got out of bed, got my shit together, asked her, like, how long you been here? How'd you get in the house? Well, I've been here about 3 hours, took a cab down apparently, and had made a key after we broke up. That was it. Just sitting there. Could have stabbed me to death. I had no idea she was there. So Harrington, I imagine the worst thing that ever happened to you is she told you one day she was a dude. For everybody else, what's the craziest thing that happened? And Harrington, keep up the good work. I know everybody shits on you, but it's all in love. You have really good fighter analysis. Just if you're going to wear tank tops, you got to get some traps, big guy. Keep up the good work, guys. Love the show.
Well, that was
a very well
delivered question. And I Brandon, right? That was it?
Christian.
Why do I always do that? He's right though. I second the tank top motion. In fact, don't ban it. I was going to say, are we going to ban the tank tops? We're not. We're not a dictatorship around here.
I just got to do more trap exercises. Apparently, got to get these things done.
Yeah, dude. Shoulder shrugs.
Harrington, did one of your girlfriends ever reveal themselves to be a dude?
No. I mean, I've had the classic, you're trying to break up with a girl and all of a sudden she's pregnant. You know, I've gotten like a couple of those.
Because you're such a catch.
I mean, that's what I said. I'm like, I'm doing you a favor here. Why are you lying about this?
Oh, it's hilarious. Brian, any crazy stories?
Yep. I once had a girl that I was dating break into my house and drop my air conditioner out of my window. And then she called me and she was like, I'm in the house. And I started asking questions and I was like, what are you? And she was like, I'm freaking out. I just broke something. And I was like, it was a whole mess.
But what's an air conditioner? Do you mean a fan?
No, you live in California, so it just comes naturally. But we have these things that go in our windows. They're like 50 to 75 pounds and they turn the hot air cold.
Oh, I've seen them in the windows. I was like fanny
yes,
things.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I see.
So somehow after she broke into my house, after we broke up, she somehow kicked my air conditioner out of the window.
Right, right. Well,
the best part about it is it went through the back window of her car. So,
an idiot.
So she was really calling me to find out what we were going to do about the
back. Oh, yeah, that's right. So she breaks it, she vandalizes your house, but she ends up smashing her own car, and then, like, woe is me. Well, tough shit, bitch. What was I going to say? For me, I'm trying to think. I mean, I've been with Rebecca for a long time, so.
And she's a saint.
She actually is. She actually is. But I remember an ex-girlfriend that I had. We used to go down to this nightclub in Blackburn called Utopia. Had many names over the years, and I don't know. We got into some argument, and we used to go down because I used to DJ at the pub, the Starkeys, and then they would do a bus, a coach, 50-seater coach from the Starkeys pub to Blackburn. It's like half an hour ride. And for £5, you got the coach there and back. You got into the club and you got your first drink for free. I mean, that's a bloody deal and a half, £5. I mean, we're talking the '90s, but still, I mean, come on. That's a good deal. So as you can imagine, we always used to be on that bus. Because in Clitheroe, when all the pubs shut, back then it used to be 11 o'clock at night. Last orders was at 11. Now the pubs can stay open all night, but it used to be 11 p.m. You know what I mean? So that bus was packed every week going to Utopia and back. So we used to have some fun times. We had a few scraps on the car park over there as well. Many scraps. And talking of many scraps, that's what we're getting to. We had some kind of argument. I know exactly what the argument was about, but we're going to leave that one off. And anyway, so my ex-girlfriend at the time, we're on the bus and we're coming back. And she beat me up the entire way. She just sat in front of me, punching me in the face, slapping me as hard as she could, punching me with the rings. Just the 30 minutes home, my face was fucking black and blue.
Domestic violence happens to men too.
Domestic violence. I am a sufferer from domestic violence, you know, and I never came forward. I never suffered inside. I was scared of the repercussions.
Oh, yeah, ladies, learn a lesson.
Yeah, yeah. No, but yeah. So to answer the guy's question, that would probably be the craziest activity that a former girlfriend.
I was going to say, thank you for being brave and sharing your story with us. You know, we believe you, Michael. You're in a safe space. I'm just wondering.
Are you mocking
domestic
violence sufferers having to? I feel that's where you're going.
He too. Hashtag he too, right?
My but God. It's a real thing, Harrington. People suffer with this. Women are beaten daily.
Yeah, but we're talking about men.
Yeah, we are talking about men. Brian, what else do we have before we get bloody? I don't know.
So this one is not a question, but it's more of a statement towards Darren. And Hamza.
Yeah, yeah. They don't even respond to my messages anymore now. Not only did they not come on the show, I texted him the other day about his matchup with Jacko Manson and cricket.
We're just going to play somebody talking shit about them every week until...
Yeah, yeah, we are. Yes, we are. If you have any videos talking shit about Hamza and Darren, send them in, okay? Because this is what... This is the situation we're in now. Press play.
What up, BYM crew? This is my first question, but I am a day one believer. But I just couldn't take the disrespect of Darren and Hamzat. You're saying they're coming on, and then they don't show up, and then you think they're coming on again. And I thought Darren was Team Teeth. And I just have a message for them if they do show up. If they want to be the best, they need to know now. Poke your fucking eye out, then fight and win a championship, and maybe you can be as good as Bisbing was. Maybe. Shout out to Harrington, Brian, Bisbing, Anthony, whole BYM crew. Love you guys.
But that is very kind. And there's a very strong message that he delivers there, one that I sign off on. However, to be fair, the issue is that they're both, well, Darren's training for a fight now. And at the time we record this right now, it's like almost 11 p.m. at night. That's the only issue with the European guests. You know what I mean? That's why on the Thursday show, when we record it a little earlier, you know, I've asked them to come on the Thursday one as well. Crickets. Anyway.
I'll tell you right now, for the Smash Bros, Brian and I, we'd be here at 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, ready to go. Like whatever works for their European schedule, we can make it work. It's not about that.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll see if they see this and come back to us. Brian, do we have one more?
We do have one more quick one. It's from a Mr. Sam McLean.
Okay, Sam. Let's take a look.
Hey, would any of y'all rather take a hard groin shot or get oil checked for a few seconds? Love the show.
Ooh. Ooh. Rough. Yeah. Quite the dichotomy, if that works. Quite the conundrum, sorry, is probably the better word that I was looking for. Quite the conundrum. So basically, Harrington, here's the situation. Would you rather I, not me, but somebody, well, I'll be the one to hit you in the balls, or somebody momentarily sticks a thumb up your anus?
Right, but it's
he
not...
said 6 seconds.
I missed that part.
Did he say six? I heard him say a few, and I wanted clarification on what a few is.
Let's go with six.
And by the way, when you're doing proper seconds, one.
It's a long time.
Two. Three. Four. It's up there still. Five. It's getting deeper. Six. Harrington's like, continue. I'm good. I've got day, baby.
At this point, honestly, 2 seconds would be worse than six, because after 3 seconds, I'm just used to it. And it's like, all right, well, this is...
It's the first two that gets you. Yeah. It is.
What strike are you throwing? Knee, punch, elbow?
Any kind of punch, kick, knee, elbow. I'd rather get cup checked.
Yeah?
Well, yeah, oil checked.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think the oil check is probably the way to go.
I'm sorry. Yeah, like you go see a doctor. I've never had this done. Have you ever been to a doctor and they do the old-fashioned prostate exam and stick a finger up your ass?
I'm not there yet, Mike.
No, I haven't yet. But people talk about this. I'm like, what kind of doctors are you going to? I have never been to a doctor and they felt the need to stick a finger up my ass.
Sick, twisted fucks.
Yeah, I know, but I would have been like, whoa, hold on a minute. Surely there's a better way of reading this. Do you know what I mean? In this day and age of digital eyes, NFTs, blockchains, you know what I mean, and flying to Mars, are you telling me that you to find out if I've got a hemorrhoid or whatever it is, you gotta anally probe me?
Yeah. Well, it's your prostate. I mean, what else are they going to do? Just put a camera? I guess they could do a camera. I'm surprised they can't do it by camera, honestly.
We could just hope, you know?
Like, they could do like an MRI.
Yeah.
I don't know. But still, what would you choose, Harrington? Would you want to get anally probed?
Yeah, I think
of course. Leave it there. Yeah, it's fine. That's the answer. That's the answer. No need to elaborate.
I'll take a nut shot.
Because you're a real man. That's why. Anyway, I think on this note, I think that's it. That's the show, ladies and gentlemen. We do appreciate you. We'll be back on Thursday with another one, of course, with Anthony Smith. Fingers crossed. Big UFC 274 preview show. Excited for that one. Massive fights this weekend. Remember, bympod@gmail.com. Send in your questions for Thursday for Anthony, I, Harrington, or Brian. And in the meantime, be well, and we'll see you soon.